What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But we know Mike would not do that because he loves his situation here. The comfortability of having an owner that's in his back pocket and knowing that he's never going to get fired and he can basically do whatever he wants, he prefers that to the uncomfortability of going somewhere and trying to pursue a championship, even if that team, Chris, gives him a better shot to do that.
I mean, I think he still probably wants to win a championship, but I think the rest of it's way more relevant that he knows as long as he's here, short of him going 3-14, which he's not going to do ever, for multiple years, by the way, he is completely safe. He's the safest job in the NFL. He is the only coach, I think, truly, where the owner talks about him in these glowing terms as if he cannot believe his good fortune.
Like he walks on water.
No, it's, I can't believe my good fortune as an owner, Art Rooney, that I inherited Mike Tomlin. That I was lucky enough to have Mike coaching my team. Usually it would be, you would think it would be Mike saying publicly, I'm just so grateful for the unyielding support of the Rooney family. And that dynamic really, in public at least, literally in word and in deed, is flipped here. Art Rooney, we love the work Mike does. Here's a 3-year extension after you got rolled out of the playoffs again after last year. I said the Bears because it's obvious. He would inherit the quarterback with 1 year. The quarterback, by the way, coming off of a pretty disappointing rookie year where there were rumblings that like he wasn't exactly ingratiating himself to his teammates. DJ Moore was basically still openly pining for Justin Fields while the season was underway there. If you go there, you are not inheriting a quarterback and people are saying, well, Caleb Williams is the reason you won. You're the guy turning that situation around very quickly after a bad first season. There is no Ben Roethlisberger was established and had already won a Super Bowl. You're the guy getting the most out of the number one pick and rescuing a fractured heritage franchise.
Neither one of us said Dallas.
I don't think he likes going to a place where, even though Jerry Jones is actually way more loyal to coaches than people think, and then his like persona.
You're going to say it, and I'm going to agree with it. So say
he doesn't want to go to a place where he's not the biggest personality.
Well, I was going to say where he doesn't have the control over the things.
Yes, that's the other part of it. Jerry still wants to buy the groceries, and he is the de facto.
Jerry said, I bought an occupation. I wanted to run a football team, not just the business of it. I wanted to do the drafting and the recruiting of players and all those things.
Well, I don't think Mike would like the fact that Jerry likes to go and do a radio show where he might be critical of Mike every week.
And Mike would have to do the radio show once a week, too, based on how things work there.
So that would be like pulling teeth.
But
for him.
I mean, if it's really about that confetti game, like he said yesterday, Mike loved Dak Prescott out of college, and Dak was runner up for the MVP just last season. And they've got more like foundational pieces there than they have here as far as the quarterback is concerned. And you know, you got Micah Parsons on defense. Like,
well, if it's about the confetti game, why wouldn't he want to go to Jacksonville, Pony? Where Trevor
Lawrence, he could watch it from London?
Where Trevor Lawrence has been bad enough that, again, the same thing would apply. You'd be seen not as the guy who inherited an already great quarterback, but the guy who got the most out of him. And also, you're in a division where it looks like at all times, at least two of the other three teams are going to suck ass.
I just think it's a really compelling argument that a divorce is beneficial for everyone. It helps us move on and start over.
And how is it beneficial for him, though? Because inherently, anywhere else he goes, he's going to make more money, but he's not going to have the job security.
Because it could get him closer to winning a Super Bowl sooner.
Well, wait a minute.
In theory.
But I do think, I'm the one who said I still think he wants to compete for that. You said he's happy just making the playoffs.
Well, that's why he's not interested in any of these jobs, is what I'm saying.
No, I know, but my point is, you said it would be, a divorce would be better for all parties, but that only makes sense if you really don't believe that he's just content to make the playoffs, because divorce is bad
for him. I'm saying looking at it from the outside looking in and not trying to get into Mike Tomlin's brain or head or trying to get into Art Rooney's, I look at both people and think, I'm not in the relationship, I'm on the couch listening in marriage counseling to these two people talk, I'm thinking, you know, it's probably better off for both of you to go your separate ways. That's what I'm thinking. Like, there are people that stay in relationships too long because they don't want to deal with what a breakup does to them. Like, they're just comfortable in it. It's not great, but they're just complacent. They're resting on their laurels. That's what it feels like with these two. Mike might be better off without Art, and Art might be better off without Mike. Together, what do you get? 9-8 every year and a first-round ass-kicking.
Of the two of them, who do you think would be more confident in their future separated from the other? I think Mike would fully believe, yes, like, I'm going to go somewhere and be great. I think Art would be terrified to have to conduct a coaching search, quite honestly. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not, candidly. Florio said, don't say quite honestly because it implies everything you said before was a lie.
Donnie, put your two cents in on all this.
Just on why I think the Bears, because that
all
was
of
the
it.
Team I picked.
Anything. This is your canvas
that we just started
to paint.
Just these two, like Tomlin just being completely put off by the idea of getting traded and going somewhere else.
Well, I also think, based on what the topic just was, which person would be more afraid if a divorce did take place, I think it would definitely be Art, because Art never had to actually pick who the head coach of the team would be. That was always done before he was the head honcho, and he would be going into a true first-time coaching search, and he would also have the pressure that, more than the pressure that he already feels, like, well, the last three guys worked out pretty well. I didn't pick either of them, and I can't screw this one up. My thought on the Bears was just that they've had the opening pretty much the longest out of a lot of the teams that polls threw out there that we are exploring any and every avenue. Although, I think just given the history between he and Omar Khan, he might have Khan's number blocked, or Rooney's number blocked for that matter.
Or he just saves Omar in his phone as don't answer. You ever do that for anybody who accidentally acquired your number? Yeah, I had a couple of those.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I'm not really in the mood to like give Omar Khan credit for things right now, for anything. Not even like going back and giving him credit for the Claypool trade. It was a great one. But we ended up with a roster where they didn't have a wide receiver after George Pickens and a lot of players that were making a lot of money, and we weren't getting production from them. So
I mean, I'll just be even more clear. You can't blame it on injury so much. You can't like cite that as the GM did a bad job, but his first round pick this year didn't play really. Okay. And his first round pick has been a disappointment so far.
I want to maybe... Are we missing kind of a big story here? It is crazy that Tomlin felt like he needed to put a no-trade clause in his contract. If you don't think it's ever a possibility, like there's no chance it would ever happen, you wouldn't need to put one in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the point? Why is that even...
couldn't it just be something as simple as, I want to have even more power and say so? I mean, that's a power play at the bare minimum.
But we all agree that Art Rooney's petrified and scared to get rid of Mike Tomlin or move on from Mike, right?
I think he is apprehensive about the possibility of ever having to do that, yes.
Yeah, so then why would Mike feel like he needs to put that in there? I don't get that part.
Even more control. I don't know. He certainly can't think that the minority owners of the team who are in Art's ear saying, we want this, we want that, actually have sway and say so. Here's the only other thing I can think of. Here, I'll give you the one other thought. Does he think Art is only going to be the principal owner for a couple more years before he turns the job over, to Danny? Presumably is the scuttlebutt that everyone thinks he's going to be the next owner.
But that would have to happen fast because Mike's contract is up in 2027.
I'm just asking.
No, I know. I mean, you're
trying
just throwing
to float
stuff out
ideas,
there.
Man. That's like the worst kept secret is people feel like he is going to succeed and be the next, chairman of this team. Does Mike feel like he wouldn't have as chummy of a relationship there?
That's what we're pinning our hopes on. When the stewardship change happens, we get some new ideas and we get some fresh thoughts and we get a different way of doing business when the fourth generation takes over, right?
I I got nothing else, man. Because I still think all of this at like the end of the day still starts with the owner being okay with the way things
are. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Reportedly, a team looked into trading for Mike Tomlin, discovered there was a no-trade clause, and that was the end of that, per Adam Schefter. Tomlin got asked about that yesterday. He said, basically, save it, not worth your time, no point, etc. Time to go all access with Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL on CBS reporter. Aditi, if you had to guess among the six teams, Cowboys, Bears, Saints, Jets, Jags, Raiders, who do you think would be the most likely to look into Tomlin?
I'm here. You know what? I feel like there are several likely candidates right there. I mean, you could totally see the Jets doing it.
That's who I said.
You could see the Raiders doing it. Yeah. But, I mean, I remember years ago when there was talk of John Harbaugh being traded to the Jets and John Harbaugh saying to me, why would I ever agree to giving up a first-round pick? He's like, I would never go to a team and give up a pick for my new team. So it's just the likelihood of that happening, especially when clearly no one on the Steelers side is saying, oh, the message has gotten stale or we need to move forward with somebody else. That's just not what the conversation is here.
Can I ask you why Mike would ask for a no trade clause in his contract when he works for an organization who basically bends over backwards for head coaches?
Why not just cross all your T's and dot all your I's? I mean, I think that's pretty boilerplate. That would be pretty standard. I don't think that is.
So all NFL head coaches have no trade clauses in their deals? I didn't know that.
I don't know that I'm saying boilerplate in that I think it's more common than you think. I don't know that it's standard in every single contract. But it's not as simple. I mean, it sort of feels a little bit silly to sit here and think about that as a possibility.
That's why I never thought it would come up, because Mike would just always assume he's going to work here for as long as he wants. He works for the Roonies.
Exactly. So then your point here is now, okay, so how do you finally make this turn team the corner?
I think most people would say the quarterback. You have to find a quarterback.
Well, that's a piece of it, but that's not the only piece of it, Mulsey.
It's the biggest one,
yes, of course it is. And at this level, basically, or at this point of what the game is, you're not winning without at least a second-tier quarterback. Not some slapdash, you know, washed-up guy that was run out of his last two teams. And let's not act totally surprised that the offense completely fell apart. And the other piece here is that I've been hearing this chatter today that maybe somehow Arthur Smith is complicit in whatever the state of that relationship is. Let me tell you, Arthur Smith got every single thing there was to get out of that offense in an incredibly difficult situation. And I'll go back to what I've been saying to both of you since March. There's a reason that Seattle moved on from Russell Wilson. There is a reason that Sean Payton moved on from Russell Wilson. And again, very, very nice person, very nice human. But in terms of what you think he's capable of on the field and where he was going to take you, again, but even beyond that, we talk a lot about culture. And sure, coaches set culture, but every single great team I've been around has had really strong, sincere, and authentic player leadership. Accountability has to come from within the locker room as much as it does from the head coach. And that's an area where the Steelers have really, really been struggling.
Why do you think they're struggling?
Roll the roster. They don't roll the roster. It's funny because I was talking to an AFC executive, a very, very high level AFC executive about this last week. And then we were discussing it again this week. When you are constantly having sort of a non-losing season, then there's no great imperative to significantly change anything. And you kind of keep rolling the same people out there. And this is not a knock on anyone who's on the team, but sometimes when you talk about having fresh messaging or a fresh breath of air or new voices or new energy, that has to do with players too. And player leadership has been an issue on that offense for a long time now. So what is this front office doing to roll the roster a little bit, to remake this team a little bit, to get some new blood on this team and in this locker room.
Hopefully trading George Pickens.
How much? Wait, hold on. How much? Yeah, we'll get to that one for sure. How much is that front office also thinking about the people they get and not just the players? Because it's about puzzle pieces, and it's about how those players fit together in a locker room, not just about individual pieces of talent, which is exactly what you said. I said, Pony, Mulsey, I should have sent it to you. I wrote a story about the Bills last week, and I talked to Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, Josh Allen, Brandon Bean, about how Brandon Bean made a move that a lot of people sort of raised eyebrows when he got rid of Stephon Diggs, one of the premier wide receivers in our game. Guess what? It made Josh Allen better. It made Josh Allen a quicker decision maker. It made Josh Allen and that entire offense function better. Sometimes you're better as a sum of your parts than just because of one individual name.
Do you think they should? And well, here, two different questions then. Do you think they will trade George Pickens? Do you think they should trade George Pickens?
I think they should if they could find a buyer, which is, I don't know, easy. I know that I also told you this, guys, when he was drafted, that I had spoken to a general manager who said that George Pickens was bar none the most talented wide receiver in that draft, and he was not even on their draft board.
I know a team that's still playing who felt that way about him. There's still a team in the playoffs that didn't have him on their board.
And you know what? I was just talking about this with another executive yesterday who was with a different team at the time of George Pickens drafting than this GM that I was talking about. And he said same. And he, in fact, said to me that he left his pro day and he called his whatever VP of personnel or director of college scouting and said, are you sure we can't draft this guy? Because that's how easy it is to be infatuated with his talent. But he wasn't on that draft board either. And here's another thing. I tweeted this yesterday because I've been saying it on CBS's air for a while. You need to think about, so we talked about this a few weeks ago when I said one of the things that Brian Flores said about Mike Tomlin is how much patience he has as he waits for players to turn the corner. And he finds it admirable that Mike Tomlin has this patience. And in fact, with Brian Flores, I said, well, there are some players that I wouldn't necessarily have that same patience for. You have to think about the behavior that you're putting up with as you wait for this player to, again, quote, turn the corner. What is the message that is being sent to the rest of the locker room? How is the rest of the locker room taking that? And how detrimental is that to the entire cause? And so, again, when you talk about the Steelers maybe making some significant changes, that change is not going to be Mike Tomlin. And I'm on the record telling you over and over why, obviously, I disagree with Pony. I don't think that that change should be Mike Tomlin. But I do think that some of the ways of doing business need to change. And if Mike Tomlin doesn't want to hold petulant players who are chronically late, who need constant placating on the sideline, if he doesn't want to hold those players to count, then somebody else in that building needs to. Somebody else needs to be the heavy. If he doesn't want to sit a player and take a game check, then the general manager needs to do that.
Buddy, you've been on sidelines and you've been in production meetings with coaches now for the last 2 years with CBS. If Russell Wilson ain't the
three years.
If Russell Wilson ain't the guy and you have doubts about Justin Fields and have for a while, where should they turn at quarterback for next year?
I mean, I would still sign Justin Fields. I don't think that he would be very expensive. I don't know that he's your starter, but throw him out there and let him compete. I can tell you this, that the coaching staff really, really enjoyed working with Justin Fields. That Justin Fields was getting very, very solid coaching, unlike he had ever gotten in his career. I mean, he basically had four coaches in that room. And he was getting better every week. There was hope. There was some promise. Now, again, do I think that he's a high-level starter on the level of a Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson? No, I don't. But every team needs a good, solid backup. And he's a backup plan. He's a something. He's someone that is familiar with your system. He is someone who is familiar with your building. He is someone that you are familiar with. But, yeah, you have to find a quarterback. And if you're reading the tea leaves of Mike Tomlin saying, well, you don't always have to find a quarterback in the first round, and that a lot of it has to do with solid coaching and a solid system around you and what you build around you, look at Brock Purdy, then maybe there's one to be found. Clearly, the Steelers are going to be in the market for drafting a quarterback.
Interesting.
And we do know this, right? Look, we do know this. Kevin Colbert was pretty careful in trading up, right? He traded up, I think, only three times in his tenure, one for Troy Polamalu, one for Santonio Holmes, and once for Devin Bush. Devin Bush. Is that correct?
Yes. Oh, Devin Bush. Wonderful trade up for Devin Bush. Loved it.
Okay. Well, he's done it three times. But we do know this, that Omar Khan is a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more assertive. So maybe there's something to be packaged to go and get a quarterback if you fall in love with one.
Well,
forget
it. I'm not even going to go down that road yet again.
It feels like we're spinning our wheels
when
we're laying all of this at the foot of Mike Tomlin. And there's a lot that's valid, but
if they're going to go after a quarterback, Aditi, if they're going to draft or look to draft a quarterback, two of the three people who are part of that brain trust, owner, head coach, and then GM, are the same people who drafted Kenny Pickett the last time and then cut bait 2 years into his tenure. So, why would I have a lot of faith as a Steelers fan?
And surrounded him with Matt Canada.
Why would I have a lot of faith as a Steelers fan in that process?
That's all very valid. But remember, the plan wasn't to cut bait with Kenny Pickett. The plan was to actually put a real coach in charge, a real coordinator in charge of the offense.
Yes, but then the plan was to play Russell Wilson over Kenny Pickett. So how good of a plan was that?
Well, that was, but again, look, even Mike Tomlin's on the record saying he didn't necessarily do full research on that. He never picks up the phone and calls Sean Payton and said, hey, why are you paying the guy almost $50 million to not be anywhere near your locker room? Where did it go sour? How did you go from saying, okay, I still believe this guy has something, to you couldn't wait to get him out of the building?
Aditi, thank you.
I mean, again, that's part of the due diligence, isn't it?
Yes. I'll be in Buffalo on Sunday watching a real playoff game. See ya.
That's so much fun. Bye, guys.
Donnie's daily football story and topic coming your way next, 4:30 every weekday. It's the Donnie Football Debrief, unless he's a part of a Joe Starkey Donnie Football Friday, in which case it could be an intern Dom debrief. It can be a gorgeous Charlie Borges. It could be...
What if he does an Ernie Banks and produces us after working with Joe Starkey?
We have one of those on Friday. Could be a Seth the MILF Hunter debrief.
Seth's brand getting very strong very quickly.
What do you got for us, Donald?
The debrief, January 15, 2025. This is a date that should be in the minds of a lot of Steeler fans, because today is officially 8 years since the Steelers' last playoff win, January 15th of 2017, the field goal fest in Kansas City for Chris Boswell when they beat the Chiefs 18-16. Quick trivia. Pony probably looked at this game earlier. He probably already knows. Do you know who had the first touchdown in this game? It was a pass. Do you know the receiver that caught the touchdown?
Yes. In the Steelers-Chiefs game?
Yes.
Well, obviously it wasn't a Steelers player because they didn't score one. I think it was one of their, jabroni wide receivers.
I'm going to say Bob Jabroni.
It was a jabroni. It was Albert Wilson.
Yeah.
That sounds more like a director of, a random, comedy or something.
Bob Jabroni?
No, directed by Albert Wilson.
That put the Chiefs up 7-3, and then the Steelers...
They just started chipping away in that game, Donnie. They were just chipping away.
Do you know who scored the last touchdown in the game?
Yeah, one of their jabroni running backs.
Spencer Ware. He led the Chiefs in rushing in that game.
I was there. Game got moved to a night game because of the ice storm. I stayed at Danny Parkin's house. We went out to a bar the Friday before the game. I was thrown out of the bar. I puked outside. I went home to his place. I convinced his soon-to-be wife that I had rallied and was ready to come back. I put on a new hat to sneak myself back into the bar. I was not ready to rally. I puked on people in the bar and got thrown out.
The new hat actually worked?
Yeah.
And so his soon-to-be wife was just chilling at home waiting for you guys? Your DD?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I...
Narrator, he was not, in fact, ready to rejoin the party.
I coaxed her into letting me go back.
Here's my question about that. You had to have sounded lucid to her.
Yeah. She didn't know me that well then.
Probably so wishes she still didn't know.
So I could hoodwink her in a situation like
what
that.
What did Danny say to all this?
It was just for
can't take
at the
you
time,
anywhere, basically.
He thought it was just typical pony behavior.
Who else was there? Was it like a Nick Wright involved?
No, Nick wasn't living in
was
Kansas
he in
City
Houston
then, and he
at
didn't come
point?
Back for the game. I don't remember. Probably, yeah. Yep.
Man, getting thrown out of the same bar within presumably about a 2-hour span while wearing different clothes to disguise oneself to get into the bar.
No, not different clothes, different hat.
Different hat is clothing or accessory. It's one step below the Bobby Valentine disguise in the dugout. Because you threw up twice, man.
I think I threw up more than that. I think I went into the bathroom
what
even
the hell
there.
Were you drinking?
I can tell you exactly what happened. I got put in first class because a
so
listener...
So you're drinking on the flight for free.
On an empty stomach. I went right from the show to the airport. And then
a listener got you bumped up to first class.
Yeah, and then I went right to the bar.
Must be nice.
And I was just in a festive mood.
Didn't they serve a meal in first class that you could eat?
Just like small snacks.
It's first class. I thought they served you like a real meal.
No.
Man, wine and cheese pony.
That's the,
I think a blue collar guy could handle his booze a little better, Don.
A listener bumping him up too.
Oh yeah, I mean he's got people everywhere, this guy. You'd think with takes like his on Twitter, he wouldn't have people helping him out like that.
What the hell's that supposed to mean?
Did you say that the guy was going to lose his job and then he got a huge raise and rewarded you?
How many starters do you think we can name from that game?
I'm not even going to play this game. I'll screw up.
I mean,
the
I have it
even.
Up.
Ben, Bell, AB.
Yeah, so you got the Killer Bees. Man, Bell had a monster game too. 30
so
for
this is the 2016 season. I'm trying to think who the other wide receiver would have been. Wheaton or somebody?
Eli Rogers.
It was Eli Rogers.
Okay. Was Wheaton even still on the team? I don't think he was. Pouncey would have been in that game.
Bryant was suspended.
DeCastro.
Yep.
Pouncey, DeCastro, what? Big Al?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Was Gilbert still on that team?
Yep.
Yes.
And then who am I missing? Left guard right now.
Foster.
You definitely
Foster,
know, yeah.
Big Ramon, sorry. Just blanked out.
Jesse James is the tight end.
There is also a third receiver they have listed.
In 2016, so...
DeMarcus Ayers.
Yep.
Wow.
Who, like, went on to play in multiple
DeMarcus
football
DeMarcus put
leagues.
On airs.
He was in, like, every incarnation of the UFL
is DeMarcus
and XFL
Ayers from
and
Houston?
USFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I can...
He played
can,
with Roberts at Houston.
They went down and they
I thought
were
Roberts
originally...
Roberts went to Louisville.
No,
Landon Roberts.
Oh, Landon.
I mean.
I think
they,
yeah.
went
okay,
they went down there to scout Ayers, and they discovered a Landon Roberts.
That's right. Defensively, Cam.
No, he was hurt.
Oh, that's right. He was hurt.
Tua and Hargrave were up front.
Yep.
Timmons.
Yep.
Shazier.
Yep.
Yep.
He had a pick in that game.
Harrison.
Yep. Bud would have been in that game.
Bud Dupree.
Alvin.
Mike Mitchell.
Yes.
Oh, man. He was a buddy of the show.
Sean
Everyone
Davis.
Liked him.
Yep.
Artie Burns?
Yes. Two more corners.
Was Big Play Bill Gay on that team?
Yes, he was.
All right, my last guess is going to be Ross Cockrell.
Yep.
The Duke man.
Did we get them all?
Yeah.
I mean, he got most of them here. He let me have the offensive line. That's the easiest group. I couldn't even get Cam right.
Woo!
The Chiefs had a rookie Tyreek Hill, and they had a very young Travis Kelce.
Kelce came out afterwards and was so pissed at the refs, he said, where'd they find those guys? Foot Locker?
Yeah, because of the hold on Eric Fisher.
Yep.
Man,
2-point try.
Harrison gave that guy fits like no other.
Yes, he did.
Oh, Fisher Price. Oh, yeah, he was terrible against
James. I still
James.
Have, so I have so many vivid memories from that trip.
Doesn't sound like you have that many.
I had to go do the show the next day in Ron Cook's hotel room. We set up and we did a 4-hour show the next day after that playoff game in Ron's.
Did you have a multi-day hangover?
No, I was able to rally in that respect back then much better than now, almost 10 years ago, 8 years ago, as Donnie pointed out. And I remember Bouchette and Dulac were staying at the same hotel with Ron, and they were checking out because they could leave early. They didn't have to stay and do a show like Ron did. And I remember Ed looking at me and saying, when it bleeds, it leads. You need to start the show with Antonio Brown. That's all people are going to be talking about
the
today,
Facebook Live.
Andrew.
Good instincts.
Yeah.
Good reporters'
Nobody
instincts.
Nobody cares about them winning the game. They care about their wackadoo wide receiver.
I love the old when it bleeds, it leads.
Well, Andrew, as Arnold Schwarzenegger said, if it bleeds, we can kill it.
And I remember driving to the airport in an Uber and the guy listening to 610, their sports talk station there, and saying, we're never going to win. The Chiefs are cursed. Alex Smith ain't it. Andy Reid ain't it. It's the same old, same
They're
old
gonna
with us.
They're going to keep bumping their heads on the ceiling, and it was the impetus for them to move up 18 spots to draft a guy who's probably going to go down as the greatest quarterback ever to play football.
Exactly.
But the Steelers are capable of such bold moves, too. Like when they move up 10 spots to draft a guy who's shorter than me to play off-ball
Everybody
linebacker.
Likes to bring up my tweets where it's like, Mason Rudolph will be better than Lamar Jackson.
Yes, that is
Pickett
a funny
to Pickens
one.
Is the new Montana to Rice.
Man, these are both Rushmore level tweets.
If TJ Watt's name was TJ Smith, he wouldn't be a first round pick.
Again,
it's because of nepotism.
Continuing to hit home runs here.
You can find in 2017, hours before the Steelers played the Chiefs in week two, I said 3 hours from now, people are going to see that Patrick Mahomes is the most talented quarterback in the NFL. And is going to go on to have an MVP season before the guy had barely played.
He would have had two starts.
Yep.
He had beaten the Chargers, I think, 28-21.
I spotted greatness.
The last game of 16 and then the first game of...
So if they had consulted me on Mahomes, I would have...
April 4th, 2017, Patrick Mahomes visiting the Steelers is a pretty big development. You know the real story here, Donnie, is the numbers Pony now puts up on Twitter compared to back then. That got 3 retweets and 15 likes.
What?
Yeah. The tweet right above it from 2023, because search is broken, 77,000 impressions, 585 likes. There was a time Pony was a guy toiling kind of in the minor leagues of Twitter, too, trying to get, you know, he was trying to get his name out there.
And?
I mean, it's obviously worked. You've broken the algorithm. You don't really pay for
being somebody that doesn't pay for it. You still get...
Oh,
like
you've
so much traction.
You had to have. You've broken brains.
People
honestly.
Think I pay for it, but I'm like,
you can't hide that now.
Do you know how many tweets I put out there where there's like grotesque spelling errors and grammatical issues and stuff that I would like to get cleaned up?
You can delete tweets.
Oh.
Oh, like he doesn't know that. You play dumb on the Twitter stuff more than anyone I've ever seen. I'm sorry. I'm actually trying to find this tweet, but I don't need to find it to validate it because I actually do remember you sending that out, and I've seen that from you. It bums me out that you were that right.
Thank you for a debrief, Don. Made me sad, made me happy all at the same time. It contained multitudes. What did Jimmy Valvano say? Every day you need to laugh, you need to cry, you need to think. That's what that segment did, the Donnie Football Debrief. That's why it needs a sponsor.
Do you...
Brought to you by Cheerleaders. That would be a good one.
Do you... look back with any fondness? You love your life now, father, husband. Well, you weren't married yet at that point.
Yes, I...
No, you weren't.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. I was on...
You were 8 or 9 months away from getting married.
Yep.
You look back at all, even though you love your life now, and say, those are the good old days when I could puke twice in one night and get kicked out of a bar only to sneak my way back in.
I've already had to have a conversation with my dad about this for Sunday.
That you can't go hard.
I said, we're going up for the game. No funny business tailgating in Buffalo with this Bills Mafia. We're not getting in the mix with the guy that's, you know, gets
sprays ketchup and mustard
all over himself. We're not, you know, chugging beers and funneling beers. This is a business trip. We get in there, we watch the game for 3 hours, we concentrate and focus on the game.
Yeah. And then
we get out of there.
This is very funny, Donnie, because like I can imagine your dad needing to maybe have somebody have that conversation with him. If my dad was driving up to me with me to Buffalo for this game, he'd be like, all right, I'm dropping you off. I'm going to go read a book at the hotel. See you when the game is over.
I'm going to take notes during the game.
In the stadium on your phone?
No, I'm going to have my paper and pen.
Get the hell out of here.
I'm bringing my notebook
in. They're
not letting
you take a paper and pen in.
What, they think it's a bomb? They're letting me take a paper and pen in? Come on now.
You take it in. You think those fans won't just rip that up and throw it away?
The idea of you sitting there jotting notes on what?
The game!
Wait, are we leading that show hey, this is Ravens Bills talk here on Pittsburgh Sports Talk Radio.
I just like taking notes on games. Like when I watch that Dolphins...
So do you sit and... Wait a minute.
When I watched Steelers Dolphins last night from 79, I took some notes.
Get the hell out of here. Wow, Stallworth, really clean breaks off the line of scrimmage.
He had an unbelievable touchdown in that game. Two things happened in the game that I wrote down because I had never seen it before. Two things. Number one, The end zones at Three Rivers for a playoff game, one end zone had Steelers, the other had Dolphins. I guess for neutral site playoff games, or not neutral site, but I guess for playoff games, they used to put...
They would alternate them because sometimes the team...
No, they did in the early 70s, but in 79 they weren't, but still, they didn't...
They alternated end zone colors.
Huh.
Both. Each team got represented.
Yeah.
That is bizarre.
And then how about this one?
That should have gone away with actual home field advantage being earned and not just arbitrarily bestowed.
Barr kicks a field goal as time expires to end the first half for the Steelers. But there's a holding penalty... On the kick, penalty accepted half over. What? On a holding, they didn't just move it back 10 yards and try again. Because the clock was at zero, that was the end of the half.
So is there a chance he meant to say declined?
No, the Dolphins wanted the penalty accepted. There was an offensive holding penalty on a field goal.
Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't make sense.
And instead of the line of scrimmage for the kick moving back 10 yards, I guess back then, half over, there's zeros on the clock.
Boys, I have something that can't wait until Donnie's update. We have a hilarious, hilarious update to the Deontay Johnson saga. Back to Baltimore, says Schefter. The Ravens claim their former wide receiver Deontay Johnson on waivers today from the Texans per the league wire. This is a procedural move, and Johnson won't officially be, quote, awarded to the Ravens until after the Super Bowl, but he does qualify as an unrestricted free agent this offseason, and if he signs with another team,
they want the draft
pick. Factors into Baltimore's compensatory pick formula, potentially helping them obtain an additional pick
That's
in 26.
That's chess right there.
Johnson does not have the ability to play this postseason and likely won't step foot back into the Ravens facility, but now he can help them in the offseason. That is a gigantic FU to the player. That helps you at the same time.
Yeah.
That is funny.
I love it.
You gotta tip your non-existent cap